G'day and welcome back to the Queensland Seafood Industry Association series of podcasts. This particular podcast is in response to a Guardian article that was published titled "Unsustainable Fishing Worsens Threats to the Great Barrier Reef." Where is the data? Where is the evidence there that there is unsustainable fishing from a commercial side of the equation? We are heavily regulated. We have to account for the fish that we harvest in the marine system, yet the biggest second user doesn't have to do that. There is no tracking of recreational take in the marine park, but there's nothing quoted in here saying that their fishing needs to be monitored in a different way to what it currently is now, and that is it's not monitored. They don't have to account for the fish that they take from the system. I'm trying to understand the perspective here, and it's fairly simple when you start reading the article that there's a political agenda here, and the agenda is all around the politics of the reef. Because if you'll take note, they talk about water quality, so that's a veiled attack at agricultural land use that's adjacent to the marine park. And then, of course, you have to chuck in the perennial issue around coral bleaching, which has nothing to do with commercial fishing. Yet it's thrown in there as if we are part of the problem or part of the long-term health of the reef. Why don't they talk about the things that they could do something about, but they don't, because they don't have the political nous or the power to do anything about it? Port developments come to mind. Look at the development of ports along the coast and ask yourself a question. Has dredge works and capital dredge works along the coast contributed to the degradation of the marine ecology? Again, nothing to do with commercial fishing. Climate change, nothing to do with commercial fishing. Water temperature changes along the water column in our waters and waters across the planet, nothing to do with commercial fishing. So you would have to ask yourself the question, why? And it's always the big question, but it's not too hard to dig under the surface to find out why articles like this are published. So we're going to take a little bit of a different tack with this particular podcast. And so today's podcast is going to have a mix of views from working commercial fishing people, a different way to respond to this kind of journalism. We'll also put some facts and figures and information in the description of the podcast. I hope you enjoy this, and I hope you shed some light on a big reason why we need a change of government, and we need a change of perspective from any new incoming government around the critical role that is played by food producers and particularly the commercial seafood sector in this state. So today I'm speaking with Sienna Green, who is a new entrant to the commercial net and crab fisheries in North Queensland. How are you, Sienna?
Good, thanks, Eric.
Mate, you've had a chance to look at the statement that was in The Guardian, and just what's your first gut reaction to what you're reading without getting into specifics?
Oh, it's just rubbish. They have no idea what's going on. They're not out there with us seeing what happens. We're out there every day. We know what goes on. We report any incidental catches. We do all the paperwork. And then they just throw accusations like this around when they have no idea what actually goes on out there.
As a new entrant, what does this do for you in terms of your confidence in fisheries management? And I ask this in the following context, I guess. We have a minister who still hasn't come out, or anyone politically come out and said anything about this ridiculous story. So probably a couple of questions here. What questions would you put to our politicians about what you've read? And what does it mean for you as a new entrant? So probably they're the two questions I'd like to kick off with, if we could.
I'll just go for the new entrant one first. It gives me no confidence in the commercial fishing industry, and that's such a shame because we have such a well-managed resource out there. I don't see why we need any more restrictions or anything else that they're trying to implement, because it's the best the industry has ever been. The commercial fishing sector is up with the times. We've changed so many different things right down to our apparatuses to make sure that we're not having those entanglements with dugongs or turtles or sea snakes or whatever else they're trying to say we are. I'm a third generation commercial fisher, and it's in my blood. It's my passion. And it's why I wake up every day to make sure that there's going to be, you know, live muddies on the market, and they're just taking it away from us for no reason.
If you had to send a message to our Minister for Fisheries, what would it be, Sienna?
to give us young commercial fishers a chance and the commercial fishing industry in general. The commercial fishers' knowledge is so undervalued, and that's something that really upsets me because we're out there every day, we know what's going on, we do the best that we can, and
they don't recognize that you've got that knowledge because you're not the first to go there in terms of that thinking. Like there'll be a podcast I'll be releasing later today with a second part of the discussion that I had with Shane Snow. Well, he said the same thing, that collectively you've got, as in you, as in the minister, has thousands of years of collective fishing experience that you can draw on at no cost to him to be able to do and generate better policy for us. But it doesn't seem to be breaking through, which is a constant irritation. Is that where you were trying to go?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, they don't appreciate the value that we have.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I appreciate your time with this, and this is a simple message to get to our politicians, that it's not good enough that people can write this kind of garbage media. Tina, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Eric. I've just got something else. I've just got something written down.
Yep.
So obviously this is an election year, and being a young commercial fisher in the industry, it's quite stressful not knowing the uncertainty of where this is going to go, because potentially we could lose our jobs. And at the moment, both Dale and myself want to go forwards in this industry. And the only way to do that is to start investing in it. But how can we do that when we're so uncertain of the future, and you get extremist green groups put out all this false information and statements, which creates a bad public image for commercial fishers? And we're up with the times.
You're better operators. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah. We're more well-managed now than we were years ago and generations ago. Like we've said, I'm a third generation, and the apparatuses that have changed between from when my grandfather was fishing to when I have, it's just incredible. We don't have those interactions that there might have been many years ago. And at the end of the day, it's not just my job that I lose. It's the consumers out there as well. They're the big losers in all of this, because where's their say? Who sticks up for them? You don't hear the government shedding light on their side, that the people that don't like to go down the creek and catch a fish or catch their crabs and are more than happy to go to the local fish shop and buy that and pay the money for it, they're the ones that will lose at the end of the day because of these extremist green groups.
Yeah, no, I hear exactly what you're saying. And one thing, if this is of any comfort, because I don't like hearing what I'm hearing in your tone in this, because you're upset about the situation, and so is everyone else, including myself, that's got any heart in our commercial fisheries, is that they play, as in these extremist green groups, to their fan base, which is not the entire community. We've seen through COVID-19 that people want fresh local seafood, and to have young people feeling the way Sienna feels is a disgrace. It's a shame that it's gotten to this point, and it demonstrates that most of our politicians that won't stand up and be accountable and protect our small business people and our young people that want to get into industry, it does us a disservice, and it's a blight on the political class that they don't get up and help us in this, particularly that we're in the food producing sector. So as a message to politicians, grow a goddamn spine and help this industry instead of kowtowing to green groups that wouldn't know a hard day's work if it bit them. So on that note, thanks everyone for listening to the podcast. You've been listening to Eric Perez, proudly CEO of the Queensland Seafood Industry Association, speaking to Sienna Green, a new commercial fishing entrant in North Queensland. Thank you, Sienna, for your time. For those listening, thank you again, and we'll catch you all on the next podcast.
Yeah, good, thanks.
Okay, so Dale, first impressions, what did you think of this article?
Oh, it's disheartening to read. It's very poorly written. Like, it's hard to understand what fishery they're attacking. Obviously, the net fishery, but I don't understand if it's inshore or offshore. I can only really comment on the inshore fishery net-wise. That's where I work. It's referring to catching endangered species such as dugongs, turtles, etc. I've been doing it 5 to 6 years and have yet come across one of these animals in a net. So,
but Dale, that doesn't meet the narrative in that story. Aren't you catching things every time you go out?
Well, apparently, but
it sounds shocking that someone could bring a different perspective. That's not, we're out there killing everything that we're not meant to be commercially fishing for. So just for those that are listening and haven't been out, for those that haven't been out commercially fishing, if you become aware, or your local fishermen become aware, that there are, say, pods of dugong or turtles in an area that you typically fish, what's your typical movement then in any given workday if you know that that's on the horizon?
Oh, well, yeah. So obviously we're on the water day in, day out, whether it's crabbing, net fishing. So if we see dugongs in the area, we just simply don't work the area. I mean, well, yeah, just save yourself the hassle. And also in Bowling Green Bay where we work, we're regulated on the mesh drop net we can use. So we're only using a low mesh drop, so like a not very deep net. So the dugongs or anything that hit it don't actually wrap up in the net. They just bounce along the net and go along. So like I said, 5 to 6 years I've been doing it and yet to see a dugong or turtle get caught in the net, which I think speaks for itself.
Wouldn't mind getting your thoughts on this, because we've got some statistics and we'll also make these available just so people can get a balance of things. Nets can be used by recreational as well, and they've got access to three different types of net, and the degree of monitoring of their use of nets to catch bait or to catch fish is typically unregulated. Do you see much of the outcomes of the use of seine and bait nets when you're out on the water from recos that just don't care how they're being used?
I mean, it's probably a daily occurrence that you see cast nets caught up on snags or whatever. You know, people casting for bait to know there's a snag there, and they just leave them there, and then obviously the flow-on effects from that comes.
But hang on a sec. If you read that article, it says that it's only us. So you mean there's other people that use the water resource that aren't us that could create the animals in that resource?
Yeah, I think there's probably a few more of the recreationals and they don't want to upset them is the biggest thing. Unfortunately, the commercial sector, it's just like they don't want us there is how it feels. Like, I'm a new entrant, obviously, only on my own, been working coming up to 2 years now. And since the start, it's just been blow after blow, VMS, etc. And it's just like they want us gone. Like, yeah, it's just getting harder and harder and I can't see an end. Like, if this reform comes in, I'm buggered, you know. I'll have to go find other work, and I've been fishing since I left school, so you know, what am I meant to do? I don't have a trade, I don't have anything like that, so
yeah, look, there's a lot more support for what you're doing than even the government will give us credit for. If anything, and I was speaking to Sienna earlier in the day, recorded a discussion around what her thoughts were, and there is a lot of support for commercial fishing and a hell of a lot of support for young people getting into agriculture and fisheries at an early age. I think part of the delusion that the green groups sell when they post crap like this article, and it is crap, that it scares off young people wanting to become involved in commercial fishing, and it's not acceptable and needs to be called out. And it's interesting that they can make all sorts of claims in these articles. Unfortunately, and this is something you can't get away from and I can't get away from, is the politics of the Great Barrier Reef are bigger than us. And if it's not commercial fishing, it's climate change. If it's not climate change, it's runoff from agriculture. If it's not that, it's reef regulations. It doesn't bloody stop. And at some point, the question has to be, does the government and does fisheries management and the conservation management through Grumpa accept that the marine park is multi-use. And if they do, and in their documentation it appears that they do, then when crap like this comes out in the public arena, they need to come out and spell out what the actual truth is. Because think of it this way, the numbers of commercial fishermen on the water across all our fisheries is roughly 1,400 active fisher people in all of our four fisheries. That's the crab, net, line and trawl fisheries across the state. And that also includes the small number of commercial fishers in the Gulf of Carpentaria. There is no way known that we can compete in terms of the impact on that resource with, and if you believe the state government's numbers, that there are over 940,000 individuals fishing a year in Queensland, plus the use of vessels that are not commercial or recreational. Are those vessels and the recreational lobby having no impact on the marine resource when those giant ships are going through the GBR? They don't hit species of conservation interest, but all of the damage is only done by 1,400 people. It's just, sorry, mate, it's just a bullshit argument, and it needs to be called out. And they don't want to do it because we've done this before, and I'll make this offer again. I would love to set up a debate between representatives from the conservation sector, recreational fishing lobby, and some lobbyists from the commercial fishing industry. And let's bring your facts to the table, and we'll bring our facts to the table, and let's see what the community says about that. But they won't take on that challenge because they don't work on facts, they work on feelings. And facts don't give a crap about people's feelings. And that's this is the point, that we all love the Great Barrier Reef and nobody wants to pollute it. But a lot of the problems in the reef have nothing to do with us. The last time I checked, and please correct me if I'm wrong, you going out commercially fishing with a net has nothing to do with impact of climate change. You going out with a net has nothing to do with potential changes in temperature of the water column. You going out fishing with a commercial fishing net legally following all the rules set out by Fisheries Queensland and the federal government, I might add, that has nothing to do with the pollution and impact of port development. So why in the hell are we constantly being isolated and attacked this way? And the only thing I can put it down to, and again, if you've got a different view, please share it with those that are listening, is that we're the low-hanging fruit. It's easy to take a crack at us because there's so few of us left working. Whereas with all these other problems, the conservation lobby, the green lobby, and even governments of both persuasions have done nothing to address potential impacts of climate change. That's a debate I'm not getting into. You can believe the science or not. They have done nothing to address the impact of port development and dredging on our coastal waters. And they've done nothing to do anything about pollution into our waterways, not just from agriculture, but from just overpopulation along the coastline and overdevelopment. So address that shit before you start attacking people that are trying to do a job and provide the community some food. That's the end of my rant. So look, I would ask you, despite the stuff that you deal with these kind of attacks, are you keen to stay on as a fisherman in this industry, mate?
Oh, mate, I love it. Like, I live and breathe it. That's why we do it. You know, we love the lifestyle, the work, everything about it. We love being out there, seeing that marine life that's out there. It's just such an awesome way to make a living, and I'm so grateful for it. Like, people don't understand that we care about the stock more than anyone. We're the ones making a living off it. We don't want to see it deplete or anything. And that's the other thing. We actually do see what's out there. Like, you know, in my local area, we've had a few good wet seasons, and the small stock of barra coming on, you know, in that 40 centimeter range from like these couple of wets, is just phenomenal. Like, first time I've seen it in my lifetime since I've been fishing. Just awesome to see. You know we've got a healthy system happening when you got that. So yeah, that's really cool to see.
Look, but before we end the discussion, mate, I just got to ask you, related to what was in that that article from The Guardian, is there anything else in there that struck you as being not realistic in terms of what you're seeing on the water?
There's one major issue, well, there's a few major issues. The sharks at the moment, I can't even explain how bad they are in our local area, especially offshore, even inshore in the Barra fishery. In the last year or two, the inshore fisheries just copped it, you know. There's boats going out there at the reef sitting on a school of fish, and they're telling you stories about they'd lost 40 fish off one spot to sharks and laughing about it. Like, they just don't care. Like, you know, you got bag limits and all that, but they're killing, you know, double their bag limit to bring their bag limit home. So that's something that has to be addressed. Like,
so how are we recording? How is Fisheries Queensland recording that?
Yeah, they're not. That's another problem. The recreational sector, we have
no
idea.
Get out of here. Don't we have world's best fisheries management from this government, mate?
No, we've got nothing. It's just they're more worried about politics than managing the resource. That's the way it is, unfortunately.
That just sounds like crazy talk to me, mate. Are they managing us for the benefit of our children and our grandchildren? Isn't that the mantra that comes from the minister?
They're just worried about the next election, unfortunately. They don't give a crap, as we're seeing. If they were serious, you'd see reporting from the recreational sector so we know what's actually getting taken as a whole of the fishery, not just managing a resource off the commercial sector, which is dead wrong, especially.
Interesting you bring that up, mate. Sorry to interrupt, just so that I don't forget. How do you get a proper harvest strategy if you know what we take, but you don't really know what the recreational lobby takes? So how do they work out a harvest strategy? I mean, please explain it to me, because I don't get it. And for those listening, what the government essentially wants to do to ensure better management according to them is to develop harvest strategies. Now, how do you do that when you know or have a better than guess estimate of our take from our logbook history, whereas the other massive user of the resource is not tracked? So how do we fix it, or does the government want to fix it?
I don't think they want to. They're just, like I said, worried about the recreational vote. There's so many of them out there compared to the commercial sector. Yeah, so you're talking 943,000 recreationals versus, what, 1,400 commercials. I mean, it's black and blue, like, you can't compete. But also, you've got to look at it as there's also that many recreationals harvesting fish as well. So you've got to manage that resource. Like, they don't have to catch volume of fish. It's just the volume of recreational fishes. But they just don't want to address it. It's scary. We've got a problem. And add that with the sharks, well, you know.
Yeah, it's a big issue. And you know, they don't want to address it because they don't want to think about what the implications of addressing it is going to mean. I'm just doing some quick sums here. So our proportion of the recreational effort, if you believe it's 943, and we've written that we think that number's a little dubious. I mean, it could be around half a million, but 900,000, and I'll get to that in a second. But just a quick maths, we are 0.15 of 1% of all of the recreational fishers that are out there in Queensland, yet we're the ones that get targeted. It just doesn't make a lot of sense. So one thing that struck me in the government's official records, and happy to put a link to this in the podcast description, that the government said that around 2013, there were 642,000 recreational fishers. And then there was a seven-year gap, or roughly six-year gap, because I think they put out their numbers late last year. There was a six-year gap, and suddenly it went from 642 to 943, so 301,000 extra recreational fishes over 6 years. Now, when you do that as a weekly breakdown, it was roughly 960 new recreational fishes every week for 6 years have come into Queensland fisheries. Some might argue that is a ridiculous number to come to, but, you know, who am I to question our world's best fisheries management from being I don't want to question that. I mean, it's world's best practice. So yeah, there's a lot wrong with our fisheries management, and a lot can be said around the motivations of extreme wreck fishing groups, not your average mum and dad fisher, and the conservation lobby. Mate, look, I do appreciate your time. I know you've just come in from going out and doing what you do best, which is commercially fishing. Appreciate your time. For those listening, I've been speaking to Dale Venner, a young new entrant or young entrant into our commercial fisheries in North Queensland. Mate, appreciate your time.
No worries. Thank you.
No worries. For those listening, this has been the Queensland Seafood Industry Association podcast series. A lot more of these to come in the lead up to the state election. And just as a final thought for the two podcasts that have been put up, don't take the recreational fishing lobby or the conservation group's word for everything that they put into print. A lot of it serves a political agenda, and you'd only have to dig a little bit to work out that it's a disingenuous agenda and it's about a political philosophy, not the best management for the fishery, and definitely not the best outcome for the seafood consumer or industry.